Good evening. Man, my name is Tim Caldwell. If you've been coming the last month, take a month off every couple of, no, I'm just kidding. After 10 years, I took a month off, a sabbatical, and it was phenomenal. I'm gracious to you, church. I got to have 3 whole days with my dad, which has really never happened, which was pretty healing. I got to do a kind of a family camp, and we had a little vacation with our kids. And then last week, Stephanie and I celebrated 20 years of marriage, and we were in Montana. Never had been there, and we had a cabin. We went to Glacier National Park, and it was amazing. So just all of those things, I'm just, and I would just say more so than just time off. I read probably 5 books, but not at all being a pastor. They were just what the Lord wanted to do in my heart and just in teaching me and renewing me. So I come back to you refreshed, very refreshed. I think it was Jean Payne on Thursday saw me. She's like, "Did you miss us?" And I was like, "Yes, like we missed you guys like so much." And who knew, like when we were gone, like that 1 month, there was 3 babies born. And so yesterday, my wife made some cookies, and we went, and Cody and Blake Keys, we saw a little William. We also went and saw Blake and Camille Norman, and they had little baby Jackson. And then Ferdinand and Deborah, they had baby Eloise. And all of those folks, like, they brought their kids tonight. I mean, but, like, we've missed out on rejoicing with some of you guys. We've missed out on walking with some of you guys. And so we know the church goes on with or without. We've just missed you guys, and so we're very, 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 very glad to be back. We have been in a series. Does anybody know what it was about? Serving. And if you weren't here last week, you can listen to the podcast or the online. That's what I did, because I wasn't here. But we're in this whole thing of serving right now, and really the big picture idea is this. When we follow Jesus and we become more like him, then we become more service oriented. Some of our groups in here, I know that they've served in like nursing homes, they've served in schools, they serve at Henderson Middle School. I know that August 10th, a bunch of our D groups are going to serve at Pulaski Heights Middle School. I would just say even bigger than that, when we follow Jesus and we become more like him, just because he came not to be served but to serve, then your roommate's going to notice that. Your spouse is going to notice that. Your kids are going to notice that. Your workplace is going to notice this servant-mindedness. The more we act like Jesus, it will just be an overflow of that. And so that's what we're talking about today. If you're to think of a restaurant that has great, incredible customer service, just a real service mindset, what would you say would be at the top of your list? Chick-fil-A. Did anybody think David's at all? I mean, like, they give you fries while you wait. I mean, even when you walk in, you know, welcome to David's, right? I would say they're one of the top ones that I've known. But Chick-fil-A, really? I mean, you could like heard stories of people who ate like the whole entire thing. They bring like a little bite back and say that was horrible, and then they hand you like a gift certificate for another one. They're like, "My pleasure," right? But that, which is now being emulated by other fast food restaurants, that actually wasn't a marketing ploy. This, like, let's just be overly kind and gracious. It was actually just an overflow of Truett Cathy. He's the founder. Truett Cathy just was following his savior. Truett Cathy, even though this billion-dollar business, and he is no longer with us, he's with the Lord, but he taught seventh-grade boys Sunday school either into his 60s or 70s. I mean, we'll talk about service, right? One time a story was told, I read a book about him, and one time a story was told, he and his seventh grade boys, they were coming to get the roll from Sunday school. The lesson that day was on how Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and there was Truett Cathy, head and in charge of all Chick-fil-A, washing seventh grade boys' feet. Crazy. And in that, as he became more like his savior, that not only impacted those seventh grade boys and all sorts of other things he did, but even a restaurant, it was just an overflow of that. What I'm talking about today and what the Lord calls us to be more service-minded, to be more servant-minded, if I could just make a quick confession, this is not like, we need a couple of spots, let's do a sermon and hopefully fill those. Listen, we'll tell you if there's some places that we can serve, I'll give that plug, but listen, if you think that that's all this is today, I'm not going to be doing justice to the scriptures, because God doesn't want an hour every third week. He wants your life. And the more you give him your life and follow him, the more your life begins to look like him. And that's what the calling today is for. So please don't just think so narrow as just, hey, we just need it. Like, no, it's very important what we do here and those needs, but it is much bigger than that. So if you would, journey with me. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12, and it's already been read once, and we're going to read some of it. But Romans chapter 12, if you have it on your phone, we'll have it up on the screens. If you have the copy written, we want you to have that. Last week, Brandon, so gracious to talk about why we serve. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we serve. And so Romans chapter 12, and what I'm going to do is, the way I memorized this was in the NIV, so everything we do today is ESV, but I'm going to put up on the screen the NIV. So if you don't know what all that is, it's just some letters. It's just how I know the scriptures. And so I'm just going to put this up, and it says this: therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. So if we're going to serve, the very first thing in your bulletin, according to this, is to offer yourself. Offer yourself. And then in parentheses, it says your whole self. We're going to talk about that. But offer yourself, your whole self. Would you say that with me? Say, offer yourself. Mm-hmm. And then if we'll go ahead and put James, if we can go ahead and put that back up there. Okay, so it says this: therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So real quick, in case you didn't have your quiet time in or your time with the Lord in Romans, it's a very, very deep book, but it's really divided into two different places. It's really Romans 1 through 11, and then it's 12 through 16. And 1 through 11 talks all about our salvation. It talks about our wickedness, our waywardness, and it talks about this great work that God did. And there's a lot of big words: propitiations, predestination, justification, sanctification, and so it just talks about this great work that the Lord has done, but it's very deep and very heady, very necessary. But if you're very practical and maybe a little bit more simple-minded like myself and kind of going, okay, so where's the application? The application all comes in chapter 12. So all this stuff about what God has done in salvation and through Israel and through his Savior, Jesus, and all that, then there's this therefore. Therefore, chapters 1 through 11, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So in light of all that he has done, in light of all of it, here's what we're supposed to do. And so just look, you can look at that a couple different ways, that therefore. You could look at it maybe as maybe your parents did for you, a little bit passive aggressive. Maybe you wouldn't be like this in this room, but maybe your parents did. You know, after all I do for you, I mean, I slave and I cook and I clean and I bring home the bacon and I've given up all these things. The least you could do is make your bed. The least you could do is treat me with respect. Like, did anybody's parents, like, if they're in the room, don't call them out, right? But maybe some of us have even said that to our kids, right? As if we think maybe they'll wake up one day and just come in and go, oh, Mom and Dad, the sacrifices you guys make. What can I do? Like, that may not ever be a reality, right? But that's not really the heart here. Paul is not saying here, hey, look at all that God did, so you better. You see, because it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. More than anything, therefore, in view of God's mercy, I wonder if you've ever had moments, whether it be in worship or when you first gave your life to the Lord, or if the Lord has just been kind to you, to have this thought that the Lord, the creator of it all, would desire a relationship with you, that he would pursue you, he would want a relationship with you. And maybe it is that your heart was just overwhelmed by that. Like, why would he love me? Like, what would he see? And you're overwhelmed by that, then that's the picture. In view of God's mercy and all that he did, the things that we did not deserve, in view of God's mercy, it says this: brothers and sisters, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So it's in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. So what in the world is a living sacrifice? I think there's a band called that, but a living sacrifice. Let me just give you a little history. Since Genesis chapter 3, since the very, very beginning, when people approached God in the Old Testament, they would bring an animal and place them on the altar. And so, whether it be a sheep or a pigeon or a goat. And I'll just pause for a moment. If that sounds barbaric or offensive, I would agree. The idea of this set up by the Lord is that if you were to approach God Almighty, who is a perfect, who is God, who is a perfect in righteousness and judgment, right? If you were to approach him as a sinful person, we're separated from him, then sins don't just go away. Same way if I were to go before a judge, and let's just say, let's say back when I was a kid, my brother and I did some arson stuff, nothing like big time. But let's just say we set some places on fire, right? And we set some things on fire, and it wasn't the first time, it was third or fourth offense, right? I can't go before a great judge and go, hey, I'll try to do better, right? He doesn't look at me and go, hey, sport, like, let's not do that anymore. Like, if he is a good judge, then there's consequences for that. He doesn't just pat me on the back and say, try better. The same way when we approach a perfect judge, when we approach God who's perfect, listen, there was a sacrifice. Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So that can't be taken away. God can't just go, hey, try better. That's just how people, like Genesis 3, God has the first sacrifice to even clothe Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 4, you see it and over. When people approach God, it was a serious thing. And so it's not saying that, though. And just in case you're new to church and you're expecting a lamb to come out here, we don't do that anymore. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus was the final substitute. He was the final sacrifice. Praise the Lord. But basically, the principle here, so living sacrifice, you would, with a regular sacrifice, you would put it on and everything from that animal would be taken, like their life. What does God want from you? To be a living sacrifice, that everything about you would be on this altar and would be given to him, not taken. You see, he wants all of you. He doesn't want one or two times a month you to go to church, you get the wink from him. If you're extra spiritual, now I serve like, you know, a couple times a month, now you get a jewel in your crown like that. The Lord wants all of you. The same way when I asked my wife to marry me, I didn't say, hey, how about 300 days a year, right? I mean, I know that's kind of limiting and constricting for you, but right, if you give me 300 days a year, then the rest of it, you can just roam free and do whatever you want. Like, I asked for all of her, like just me and her for till death do us part. Exclusivity. And what the Lord asks, it's not for an hour. He says, in view of his mercy, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. That's what he wants. He wants all of us. Every bit. So that's what it is asking us for. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, for this is your spiritual act of worship. I don't know about you, I'm a very musical person, and so when Clint, the songs they write in this worship team, man, I mean, sometimes I'm like, let's add another song, like, come on, do another one. I feel God's presence when we worship. What it's saying here is when we are on the altar, that's worship. I know because I know a good bit of you, a number of you. There's some of you who make sacrifices, call it serving or not. You've just made sacrifices to follow the Lord. And maybe you don't hear the music in the background, but when you say yes to him and you give all of yourself and you die to a new place, that's worship. That's worship. Even if you don't hear the music, even if people aren't raising their hands, that is worship. It's this act of worship. Does anybody have a problem with this? Like giving all of yourself? When it says all, it means all, right? I remember, I was already, I remember, so you probably, this is more than you guys need to know about Stephanie and I, but we kind of had an off and on relationship. And so in college, there was a time like we ended it, like we weren't like really going to get back together. And I remember thinking that, I'm like, I'm at the end of school and I'm not going to be married. And I had this thought, like, what if I never get married? And I was like, get behind me, Satan. Like, that's, I wanted to get married eventually. And I had this thought, like, what if it wasn't in the cards, Tim, for you to get married? And I had this little dialogue as I was driving on this little blue truck that I had. And I remember thinking, that can't be the Lord. And I had this thought of the Lord just saying, Tim, if it was never my plan for you to get married, would you be okay with that? And I was almost trying, like a kid who doesn't want to hear the command from their parents, like almost just kind of leaving that go and turning up the radio and that. And I thought, okay, I'd do that. Call me weird. I felt like the Lord was saying me to say it out loud. Like it was just me and him in the truck, right? I remember my heart started beating fast. And I said, Lord, if it's your plan for me never to get married, then I want your plan. That was hard coming out. You know why it was hard? Maybe that was an idol or a dream of mine. I almost thought like when I said it, I would hear God go, I heard that. And I'm going to call you to Africa, to nowhere where you know nobody, and you're going to be single for the rest of your life. Like, as if God had bad intentions for me or just wants to take. But the reason I tell that story is something as foolish as even a relationship. I just felt like the Lord saying, would you be willing to give all of yourself? And in my journey with him over and over, I feel like there's other times he asks to give, but he's a good father who gives good gifts. And so what is the Lord asking you today to offer yourself, your whole self? Would you say that one more time? Say, offer yourself. Okay, and the second thing is in your notes is going to be this, is offer your gifts. Offer your gifts. And I want to continue to read. Oh, and just so that you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, the reason I memorized some of those a long time ago is because in verse 2 it talks about knowing God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I don't know if you've ever wondered, like, Lord, I just want to know what it is you have for me and know your will. That's like a whole teaching in its own, but like memorizing this right here, I would just say this, you're never more close to God's will and aware of it than when you're surrendered. Not because he like null and voids all of your desires and your hopes and dreams, but when you are surrendered, and you can know his will, his good, pleasing, acceptable will. So just that's just extra. That's been instrumental to me. So let's go ahead and read in verse 3, offering our gifts. It says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself too highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members, one and another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Pause real quick. Are y'all seeing the picture here? Number one, he's saying you're not that big of a deal. He puts a disclaimer in that because some of you may be really big deals. He's saying that basically just like I have a body here, right? So my hands, right? Eyes, nose, feet, right? My eyes can't be like, dude, you're dumb. You can't see anything like to my left hand because, you know, he could say, hey, I'm like, I can see better than anybody in this room, even the right eye, like, because they're all needed, right? My eyes are needed, my hands are needed, my feet are needed. And so it doesn't just say you're just not a big deal. It just says, look, we all have a part. We're called the body of Christ. And so some of you in here, you may be the hands or the feet or the eyes. You may be the warmth and the hug, right, because of your hospitality. And so he's saying, listen, we need all of you. And that's why he says that. And this whole gift of we all have different functions as a body. And so verse 6 again, it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Say that with me. Let us use them. And if it's prophecy in proportion to our faith and service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So he's saying, whatever gifts, we all have different gifts, but whatever they are, just use them. If you're a generous, like your gift, spiritual gift is generosity, then give generously. Like for you, sometimes it's not even as much of a sacrifice as somebody, like it's a joy for you, then give generously. For those who have mercy, even it goes on, talks about for hospitality, for people who go, I don't know what my gift is. I just like to have people over to my house. You have the gift of hospitality. And sometimes people come and hang out at your house before they would ever come to a church. They feel home there. They feel invited there. And we actually have people who are part of this group because you sat in somebody's home first. All those gifts are different. And what God is asking for us today is to offer your gifts. I wonder if anybody in this room has ever received like the perfect gift. I mean, like one, you're like, how did they even know? I mean, like this was perfectly fitted for me. Some of you in this room are really good gift givers. And whether it's at Christmas or whatever, just over and over, it's like, yes, perfect gift. And you get it for the kids or your roommate or your girlfriend or your husband, whoever that is, right? You give that. That would be my wife. And not me. I'm not the perfect gift giver. actually myself and one of my kiddos, we're actually, that's like not our spiritual gift at all. Like that's a deficit in ours. But there was only one time that I gave a perfect gift. At least I thought so. When I first moved here 11 years ago, we hadn't sold our house in Fort Worth. And so I had come here. There was going to be 6 or 8 weeks that I was going to be living in Little Rock with folks I was just getting to know. And my wife and Emily, Ansley, and Hudson were 6, 4, and 2. We had 50 showings at her house before it ever sold. And so she's cleaning this up with these three little ones. And we tried to see each other. And even around Valentine's Day, it was right before winter chill, this retreat we go on, I was going to be able to see her. And all those plans foiled. And I wasn't going to see her on Valentine's Day. Weeks had gone by. And so I actually borrowed, I think, some miles from Brandon Bernard. And without telling her, I flew down on Wednesday of Valentine's Day. And I went and I knocked on the door, and she wasn't there. Little anticlimactic. So I went and hid at a neighbor's house, and no one called the cops. And I saw her pull in the van and pull in the garage and walk in. And so I called her, and I said, hey. And she's like, hey. And she's like, I miss you. I was like, I miss you. And I was like, did you get my gift? And by this, I've kind of made my way over to the front door. I said, did you get my gift? And she's like, there's no gift. And I was like, babe, I paid really good money to make sure that it was delivered by 3 o'clock by FedEx. Like, can you look behind a plant or something? Like, I paid for that thing. It better show up today. And she's like, Tim, there was nothing there on the porch. She's like, will you just check one more time? And she came and opened the door. She had Hudson in her arms and Emily and Ansley. And I had 3 roses, one for Emily, one for Ansley, and for my wife, and tears flowing. The only time I've had a good gift, right? Some of you say, Tim, you had game. Like, one time, one time. But it was perfectly suited for that moment, for our situation, for what we were going through. And if I could just say anything at all, when we talk about gifts that God gives us, listen, God gives great gifts to his followers. Great gifts that are perfectly suited with your personality, with your temperament, with your desires, with how he wired and created and formed and fashioned you. Here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus today, then he has given you gifts, right? Gifts that a lot of times go along with your personality that are just empowered by his Holy Spirit, and they just elevate and magnify all the more. So you, if you are a follower of Jesus, not only do you have heaven and a relationship with Jesus, he gives you gifts to his followers. Great gifts. I didn't feel very gifted in high school, so when my student pastor, I think as a sophomore, told me that I had gifts, I was like, I don't have gifts or talents. Like, I was cut from the gifted and talented program, and I didn't feel, I wasn't, like, real influential, but I took this test, and I found that I had spiritual gifts. Just real quick confession, as I took this, I had 3 main gifts. They were shepherding, exhortation, and teaching. First glance, I was like, those are lame. Like, I'm going to get some sheep and move to the country. Exhorting, smile a lot. Teaching, and I was like, high school? Like, what? I didn't know much on teaching until I took a class and I started realizing more and more about spiritual gifts. Maybe this is old hat for some of you. This was new and very enlightening for me. Soon I learned that shepherding had nothing to do with sheep. Right? It was caring for a group of people. And honestly, like in college, I wanted to be in the lives of people. I wanted to care for them. I wanted to walk along with them. And so having that gift, I would say this, many of you have that gift. And I've heard over and over and over again, people who've come to Midtown going, I feel like I'm a part because people have welcomed me in. Like, that's your shepherding gift. That's your hospitality gift. Like, that's us benefiting from your gifts. The exhorting and speaking life into people, seeing where they need to go in, like, positive ways, giving courage to people, and then even in teaching. Listen, this was the one that boggled me because on my ACT, in my reading and English part, I think it was a 16 and an 18 were my scores for those areas. That gets you to junior college, maybe. And I thought, I'm, like, pretty simple-minded. But somehow, this gift of teaching, of just seeing things pretty simply in the scripture and being able to present those are the gifts. And the crazy thing is I took that as a sophomore in high school. Those are the gifts that God, those are the things that, like, I get all jazzed up for. That's the way, like, that's what God gave me as a gifting. And so whatever, how old or young you've taken that test, if you've never taken that, you have been given gifts for us to benefit. God gives good gifts to his followers. And so if there's anything here and you don't know exactly what I'm talking about or you don't know what your gifts are, it's kind of like an Enneagram kind of a deal, right? And sometimes you don't want to bring it up if you don't know your number. Listen, this doesn't have to do with Enneagram. It's just your spiritual gifts. And if you don't know what that is, can I show you a quick website? There's like a website that we use. There's all sorts of gift assessments, but you can go on here. This is the one that Fellowship uses as a whole. But gifts at churchgrowth.org. And then there's this like a little individual assessment. It's actually not even all of the gifts, but the ones that really are used mostly for the body and the church. And so you can go on there and look, and it'll give you like a whole profile about yourself, which is so cool. If you just answer those, I think it's 100 questions. And then just if you want to, when you get done, we're having a class in 2 weeks. Bill Reed, one of our elders, has been teaching this for like 20 years. He's actually going to walk you guys through this, I think, at 3:45 in a couple weeks. But here's the deal. If you want to do that, you can stop by the Connection Center. Just sign up. Like, we want you to know your gifts because God's given you gifts to be a benefit to our church, to be a benefit to your workplace, to be a benefit to your neighborhood and to even your family. So God gives good gifts to his followers. Make sure and discover those gifts. And then the second one is this: God gives you gifts for you to give away. Listen, he doesn't give you gifts so that you can make your way up in the marketplace. He gives you gifts to give away. So if your gift is teaching, it's to give that away. If it's giving, it's to give that away. It's not to like get a name, like a pew named after you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's for the benefit of others. And so let me just say this. There have many of you, we're about a year, like we've started meeting a year ago, just like one time a month, starting next month. And our church is here because some of you have shared your gifts, right? Some of you in here have been very, very hospitable. You've had us in your home and others. And the hospitality, neighbors and others, and you've just shared your gift of hospitality. Some of you in here, you have, whether it be a shepherding gift or a leading gift or even administration, like you've been leading D groups and our people have found community. Some of you in here have the gift of teaching and you're some of the teachers for our children. Some of you have gifts like, and you're just musical, incredibly musical, and you just have a heart towards worship, and we get to benefit from your gifts. There's so many different ones, and I just would say this. We're here today because you have shared your gifts. Our prayer team, our connection team, our people who would stand out in the parking lot and just serve, right? No wrecks have happened yet, right? It kept us going in the right place. Listen, I would just say this. Maybe some of us in this room, maybe because we're new, or maybe some of us, we've been holding on our gifts. Like, God entrusted you with a gift to be shared. And some of us in here have held those back. I would just say this. The Lord wants more than just your gifts. He wants all of you. But if you're here today and you haven't been sharing your gift, like, we need you. Like, we were covered this year with every area of service. This next year, we aren't. We still need people. You say, I don't even have a gift of teaching. What about children? Listen, there's a master teacher. Like, Morgan is an incredible teacher. You would study the lesson as well, and you would ask questions before. You would do an activity, and you would listen, right? You would have a huge part in shaping the next generation. Gifts in so many different ways. People who set up all of this, tear it down. Listen, I would just say this. Don't hold out on your gifts. We need those gifts. Real quick, if talking about members of the body, right? If let's just say I'm without an arm or a hand or even both, right? Can I still function? Yes. Can I still live? It's just not, it wasn't my design. We can get along without some of you. But we were designed and you were given a gift for our benefit, for the benefit of those in this room and for the benefit of those who will come here. So listen, so we think about Midtown and we think about those who have yet to experience God's love. I would just implore you to at least pray and ask, Lord, how would you have me use my gifts? And for anybody who's already signed up to serve, anybody who wants to, you can go out. Some of you thought there was like a new tennis club, right? You have some people out in full. We don't have that. If you have that gift of bringing people together, we can start a tennis league. But they're doing the service. Why? Because we're talking about that's where you sign up to serve. So if you haven't signed up yet, if you'll stop by those tables afterwards, sign up to serve. Whatever they say the need is or wherever you want to, we still need some people who would be willing to serve. The people in this room need that. The people in our city need that. So please don't hold back your gifts and serve. The last thing is this. I'll ask the band to come on up. I'm just about done. When we think about how to serve, the scriptures urge us to you guys can come on up, to offer yourself. Repeat that after me. Offer yourself. And then secondly, we are to offer your gifts. The third one is observe our Savior's example. Observe our Savior's example. I told you at the beginning, this isn't like, here's all God did, so you better, like, it says in view of God's mercy. So let's just observe the Savior's example. Jesus Christ was the biggest deal in any room he went into. He was the biggest deal on the planet, in the universe. All things were made through him and for him. Yet he came not to be served, but to serve, right? I told you about Truett Cathy, who washed the feet of even seventh grade boys. He was a big deal. He wasn't there to be served, he was there to serve. But washing feet, that wasn't original to him. He just was watching his Savior. Our Savior washed feet. I also talked to you today about placing yourself on an altar as a living sacrifice, which you go, man, that's pretty bold, Tim. That's a lot to ask for all of me. But did you know that Jesus went to an altar? It didn't look like this. It looked more like this. And though he wants all of you, he was willing to pay everything in order to save you, in order for him to call you to himself, to give you a new life. It was not cheap. That gift of salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And I wonder if we could just think for just a moment. Romans chapter 12 says, in view of God's mercy and all of his kindness to you, and all the ways he's been patient with you, and all the ways that he's done a work in your heart, in view of his mercies, what's the response from you? And I can't even tell you what that is. I'm just saying, in view of God's mercy, we're just going to spend a little bit of time just thinking about his mercy and his goodness. What is that? Some of you may say, I'm going to serve. Great. Well, let's even talk about the rest of your life. Don't think so small. For some of us in this room, in view of God's mercy, maybe you've never made the decision to follow Jesus and to give your all. Today, I just want to tell you, if you want to start that conversation or you want to do that, we will be around afterwards. Not on your bulletin, there's a number you can text follow to, like 406 something, they'll put it up on the screen, but it's there. Listen, I'm just saying, for all that he's done in view of his mercy, maybe it is to give your life to the Lord. Maybe there's some new areas that the Lord's been asking you to die to. If a conversation in my truck is silly as a spouse or not, I wonder if there's anybody in here, and you know what, you've been holding out on him. You've given a little bit and been like good and kept him at a distance, and maybe you feel his call today for all of you. And if that's the case, I would plead with you and urge you maybe to spend some time on the altar. Our altars are up here. They're a place either to leave your burdens, or they're a place of death where you would die to some things. And so in just a moment, if there's some things that he is calling you to, I would just ask that you'd be obedient to him. Maybe the last thing is, even some of you have some dreams that you haven't said yes to. The Lord's been putting some things on your heart. Maybe you haven't believed in him, but I would just say, in view of God's mercy, if there's any step of obedience that you need to make, I would implore you to that. Let me pray for you today. King Jesus, it's good to observe your example. The mercy of God, we didn't deserve you. We didn't deserve chance after chance. We didn't deserve that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We didn't. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness that leads us to repentance. Thank you for calling us to yourself. And so, God, I just pray, as we just view, I pray that it would be crystal clear that what you've done for us. God, whatever you want for us today, I pray that our answer would be yes. God, would you make us more like your son? God, would you make us more servant-hearted, even to the way we treat our spouse, our children, our roommate, our boss, our workers, our neighbors, those who don't deserve it. Lord, would you allow us to be more like you? And if that means dying more to ourselves, so be it. Lord, we just pray that you would have your way. And even more than a song, you would take our lives as worship for you. And Jesus, you're worthy of that. So allow us to sit with you for just a little while, and that your will would be done, not ours. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.